And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, the situation in the Middle East now with ISIS, the killing and of so many Syrian people, Iraqis, of course, there's everybody's getting involved in this. Saudi Arabia is attacking the small country of Yemen, murdering people there. Iran is doing what it can to try to help fight back. Of course, Turkey is really at the center of all this. Turkey seems to have a dirty hand in all of these things. Jordan is involved, of course. Russia recently moved in with its jets, its air force, and some of its navy, naval craft also. Of course, the United States has naval forces in that area. We saw what happened recently with two patrol boats of U.S. sailors that were stopped by the Iranians and sort of humiliated. So we're at the center of all of this. Of course, we've lost many thousands of young American men and women in the armed forces. And listen, I'm not going to go back in the war because I've got a very special guest to introduce you to you. But I want to remind you that we entered that area of the world, which was somewhat of a peaceful state. It was like a volcano, perhaps, ready to go off. But it was somewhat of a peaceful area of the world, the Middle East. And then, of course, George W. Bush as president and Dick Cheney as vice president wanted a pretext. They worked with a Jewish group called the Project for the New American Century. And a number of Jews were prominent in that. And some dirty Americans, too. Jeb Bush, for example, was a member of that group. But they invaded, they fabricated evidence claiming that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Of course, the fact that Israel has had weapons of mass destruction since they stole the nuclear bomb plans from the United States and were given other nuclear information by France and Britain. But, of course, Israel has had the nuclear bombs for many years, as has Pakistan and other countries in that region. But it just turned into an unholy mess. We sent troops in, of course. We defeated Saddam Hussein. We sent him to the gallows. We accused him of killing his own people. Of course, we didn't tell people that the people that he killed with chemical weapons. We had given him the chemical weapons, but he no longer had those. He did not have nuclear weapons, or he wasn't planning on a bomb. But we manufactured all that evidence, and so it wouldn't come out here in America. We claimed that Great Britain's spy service had come up with that information, and we moved on it. Of course, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, nothing at all. 17 of the 19 supposed Arabs who did 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. So why didn't we go in and bomb Saudi Arabia, since 17 of the 19, included in Muhammad Atta, were from Saudi Arabia? Why did we let them skate? So it's a strange thing what's going on in the Middle East. I've got a man here who's an expert on that area of the world. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Bedros Hajin. Bedros. Let's just call him Bedros. That's what everybody seems to call him, just like they call me Tex. So Bedros began communicating with me, maybe 6-7 years ago. And he's the head of a wonderful ministry in Hollywood, Glendale, and Pasadena, California. They've got three offices. It's called the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Bedros is the head of that. He's a fantastic Christian man. He invited me to come and speak to his group in Glendale. And I went, I don't know how many people were there, maybe 500 to 1,000, maybe more. I really don't know. A very nice group. And I found out a lot about the Armenian community in the United States. I'm going to ask Vedros some questions about it. But the people that I met, honestly, were lovely people, very gracious. They treated me very kindly. And I came because I had done a lot of research and work on what happened in the genocide of the Armenian peoples way back in the early 1900s. And it correlated well, I shouldn't even use that word well, but horribly, I maybe should say, with the communist dictatorship of Lenin and Trotsky in Soviet Russia. Not that Lenin and Trotsky were the main monsters in this genocide in Armenia, but nevertheless, the same group, the Freemasons who were Jews, were all working to destroy the Christian world. And what better people to start with in the Middle East than those Christians who were aggregated, who were brought together? There is a nation, you see, in the Middle East, not exactly the Middle East, a little bit to the east of it, called Armenia. It's not a big nation, but it's a very prosperous nation, very hardworking people, a great land, great people. And I had the privilege of finding out more about Armenia when I visited with Bedros back several years ago and spoke to his group and met the members of his ministry outreach. And later on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I found out. But I want to say this. Armenia is a nation stuck right in the middle, not in the middle of the Middle East, but on the edge of it, that is a Christian nation. That it's perhaps the oldest. I don't know if the Apostle Paul went to Armenia, but he was close in number of cities he went to. And there they were as a small nation, and next door was Turkey. A huge nation. I guess Turkey probably has 80 or 90 million people today. I'm not sure of the exact number. Erdogan, the prime minister, the head of Turkey, is a Muslim. And most of the people are Muslims in Turkey. And that was the problem because Armenia had become a province of Turkey. Now they're a separate nation. But they were a province at that time. They were just about all Christians. But they were very kind. They worked very well with the Muslims. And the Muslims, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, which is what Turkey really was the location of the entire Ottoman Empire, emanated from Turkey. But something happened in Turkey. The government changed. And almost instantly, the new people at the head of the government began to discriminate against the Armenians and had plans drew up plans to literally to murder an entire nation of people. Now, why they did this, I'm going to ask Bedros in just a moment here, but I want you to know that I was very interested in this subject. I saw that a great genocide had occurred, and I did a audio tape and CD report, 3 volumes, 3 hours, called A Sea of Blood. Then I was contacted by Bedros, and he invited me to come speak to his group. I hope I didn't embarrass myself too much. I did the best I could in speaking to the group. But the one thing I want you to understand, my friends, is how much I love these people. And I felt a great affinity to the Armenian people. I think they're making a difference. They're Christians. Not that all of them are Christians. I mean, goodness gracious. You know, Jesus said the few would find the way, and that's true even of the Armenians. But they're very hardworking, good people, good American people now. And so without further ado, Bedros, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you very much, Tex, for inviting me.
Well, you know, you're doing a great work there with the Armenian-American Christian Outreach. It's interesting you put American in there, Armenian-American. What did you do that? Some people, you know, these are groups that come over here. Now we're having so many refugees, but you call yourself the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Why is that?
because we help the Armenians and the Americans that are living here among, we're living among them, so we don't discriminate any nationality. And we want to keep our Armenian heritage. I want to emphasize we're Armenians because we're one of the oldest races in this world. First Christian nation in the world, 301. We have a history of integrity, and I don't want to basically dismiss the heritage and our national values, which gave to the world civilization in the past and today. So therefore, I call it Armenian-American because we're Armenians, and we're also Americans. We're great to the United States that took us in.
Now, I remember the mayor of Glendale was an Armenian-American too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He still is.
He's still there. Okay. All right. Now, it's interesting to me that many Armenians have come to the United States. How many Armenians are in the United States today? Do you know?
Approximately about 1.5 million Armenians.
Wow.
Living in the United States.
Well, back in the country, the old country, let's just call it, of Armenia, that sits to the east of Turkey, and right is, it's right north of it, of course, is Russia, the Soviet Union, and, you know, those Stan republics. What, Kazakhstan, or what's Azerbaijan, what are the nations right above it, north of it?
Okay, first let me emphasize, Armenia, eastern Turkey actually is occupied lands of Armenia. Now it's called Turkey.
Ah.
It's about 120,000 square kilometers that belongs to Armenian land, verified by the world, but it's under occupation of a terroristic country called Turkey. And the next to it, there is, of course, Azerbaijan, which was created back in 1918 through Bolsheviks and Jewish Young Turks, in order to, it was a Rothschild interest, you know, in order to more destroy and falsify Armenian history. And until today, we see Jewish synagogues in the United States promote and falsify the Armenian history, and they take sides with a country called Azerbaijan, which does not even have a history in at all. It was created by the Bolsheviks, as I said, and the Young Turks back in 1918. Now they claim they regained their independence back in 1990s, but those lands really belong to Lazgins, Avar, Talish. They used to be former Christians. Now they were forced to be Turkified, but obviously, and that's how they infiltrated societies and races to, in order to crash and destroy.
Well, now Turkey was the Ottoman Empire. Finally, you know, it started, had some losses, been beat back from Europe, the Muslims, and so forth. It finally evolved to almost Turkey only. And Turkey is a very powerful, large nation, but evidently, the Sultan, the head of the Ottoman Empire in Turkey, was overthrown, wasn't he, by a revolution of these young, they call them the Young Turks. Who were the Young Turks?
There were the Salonika Jews that were, the main founder of the organization was Emmanuel Caruso, Italian Jew from Benin Breath, which right now is an extension of ADL. They were the founders of that organization. They revolted against the Ottoman Empire in order to take control of the commerce economy, which at that time it was at the hands of the Armenians. And we were Armenians were the educators, the art, the intellectuals. They wanted to destroy anything Armenian in order to take care and destroy the empire and take over the empire in order to take care of, to create the state of Israel, actually.
Now, that's an astonishing thing that you're saying, that world history, you know, has been rewritten. So you and I are doing a little bit of revising, right? we're putting out real history. You know, Henry Ford, the great industrialist, was asked about history one time, and he said, history is bunk. Of course, bunk is a word meaning, you know, garbage. but what really happened, you're saying, is that the Sultan, the head, almost the king, you might say, of Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, was overthrown by the Jews. They had got in, they were like crypto Jews who pretended to be Muslims, and they worked their way into the government till they could finally overthrow it. This is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. I mean, Lenin and Trotsky and all the others were all Jews, but they pretended to be, you know, really good, faithful Russians. In fact, you know, Vladimir Lenin was thought to be a Gentile until the Soviet Empire fell in the 1980s. But now, you know, they have, even the Lenin Museum in Moscow admits that he was a Jew, Lenin, and that they had hidden it from the Russian people, because the Russian people would not have wanted to think that they were being ruled by a foreign race, the Jews. But of course, they were. The Jews had taken over. And so Judaism was communism. It was Bolshevism. Now, the same thing evidently happened in Turkey. These Jews got in, pretended to be Muslims, and they overthrew the government, took over Turkey. So really what we had were Muslims who were crypto-Jews. And we know that in the faith of Judaism, in their Talmud, they have a horrible particular hatred of Christians. And there was Armenia right next door. Right, many Armenians lived in Turkey, as you were saying. And so all of their hatred was spewed out on the Armenian people, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was against the indigenous people, Armenians, Assyrians, Greeks, but mostly Armenians. They wanted to destroy, because according to Judaica Encyclopedia, they considered Armenians as Amalekites. As we know biblically, what was the orders to how to kill the Amalekites. So they considered us as Amalekites. As a matter of fact, we're not. But and right now they consider Palestinians as Amalekites. They do the same thing too, in order to commit genocide. So the main purpose was to destroy the Armenians, because they were the intellectuals of the empire. And once they destroyed the intellectuals of the empire, they were able to deport and kill Armenians in the desert. And the irony is, when we talk about Kurdistan and the term they announced, Greater Kurdistan, well, Kurds were the ones who committed genocide on the Armenians in the orders of the same Jewish Young Turks, which was the same group of people. Right now we see Mossad or IDF in support of Kurdistan, which in history didn't exist such a country. So they're doing everything in order to destroy and distract Armenian history and falsify all the history of indigenous people. As we see right now what's going on in the Middle East, they're killing indigenous people, and the world is sitting and watching. They're not doing anything.
All right, let's go back to that era, if we could, Bedros. Because I've never had anybody, I explain all this in a sea of blood, but you're much better disposed as an Armenian, and you know, you're really, you know, you've got your whole life caught up in this. Now, so we had the Turks there who were actually Jews, just like we have in the United States. You know, the administration of Obama is just, I mean, it's infested with Jews. Jews everywhere. The same thing for the Clintons. Rahm Emanuel was, you know, the chief of staff for the White House, but yet he had served in the Israeli armed forces. He's an Israeli citizen. But we made him the White House chief of staff. That's absolutely insane that we do something like that. But we have done it, and they call them the neocon Jews now are having their way just about. And so the United States is still involved in Afghanistan and with many military forces, bombing and so forth in the Middle East. So these Jews that were the head of Turkey of the Ottoman Empire, and of course the Kurds, now they call them the Kurds, they're up in northern Iraq. The Kurds were part of their great empire. And the Armenians had existed in peace as Christians. They were intellectual. They were very prosperous. And I guess the Jews especially hated the Armenians and called them Amalekites and so forth. But what really happened? Because, you know, I have a correspondence from the equivalent of the American consul. Then the British consul wrote back and he told what was going on. I mean, there's no denying there was a great genocide. Although we're going to get to it in a little bit that it is being denied today by Turkey and by the Jews who are fighting the recognition of it. But how many people were, did Armenia have at that time? We're talking about around, what, 1900, 1915, in that era. How many people did Armenia have? And how many, and you say they were ordered deported. They were told to actually leave their country, right? You've got to leave all your homes, your shops, your businesses, and just get out. Just get out. And so as they were traveling, I suppose hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, through the desert of toward, they were told they were going to, what, they were going to be given some land in Syria. And while they were there, these young Turks ordered their soldiers to massacre, to kill them all. And just tell us about a little bit about that horrible, those horrible days.
The plan was to empty the Armenian villages and towns and replace it with Turkified Turks, basically. Let me go one step prior. Back in Ottoman Empire, the term Turk was an insult. Nobody used the term Turk. So in 1800s, Pan-Turkism was created through Hungarian Jews in order to create a nationalistic Turkish empire. So basically, Young Turks were a continuation of that ideology.
I see.
So the towns were emptied by Armenians, which was under the Ottoman occupation anyways, but they were respected, they were intellectual. So the order came to empty all the towns and take the Armenians out of their cities and towns. They blamed, apparently, Armenians sided with the Russians, but it was not, that was not the case. It was the instigation by Herzl, who went back in 1896 and told Sultan, Red Sultan, that Armenians have revolted against you, which was false information. And that's when Sultan started massacring the Armenians, first 1896. Then it continued, the deportation came from Talat Pasha, the orders, to deport and kill all the Armenians. Well, they were supposed to be deported and killed in the desert, which happened. Most of them were killed in the desert. Until today, if somebody goes to the desert of Deir Zor and digs the ground, the sand, they will feel the bones of our martyrs, of our ancestors, and the world still denies it. So what happened? We weren't promised a homeland. We were basically deported to go live in Syria or Lebanon to assimilate and become Arabs, which majority of them did become Arabs, unfortunately, because they were forced to through the religion of Muslims. So during the deportation, it was not the Ottoman army that killed the Armenians. It was the Kurds. It was Turks. Civilians and some other people that I don't want to mention their names right now. They raped our women. They burned them in the caves. They butchered them and threw them in river of Euphrates. They raped our women. They took our kids, terrified and crucified them. So it was a horrible genocide that was taking place against the white race of Armenians, which we existed from beginning. And that was the order. And unfortunately, it was to destroy the Armenian population, Armenian identity, Armenian mind, Armenian Christians. They wanted to destroy. I want to go one step backwards and tell you a story. In the book of John, where two apostles, where two Greeks went and asked for Jesus, to talk to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm here for Jews right now, and I will talk to them later, if you remember that part. Well, those two Greeks happened to be the Armenian messengers from the king, and it's in the church history, actually, in Rome right now. Our king hears of a great prophet, great king that is healing people, that is doing all kinds of healing, and sends his people, he's sick, he sends his two messengers to Jesus, and tell with a message saying that, with a letter saying that, I heard all the miracles you do and all the good preachings you do. You're either a God or son of God. And I hear Jews that are prosecuting you in that land. I'm a king of Armenia, I'm inviting you to my homeland. I will give you half of my kingdom. I'm inviting you to my homeland to be part of our kingdom and preach your good words. This is actually written in the church history. And Jesus responds, I cannot come right now, but I will come, send you my apostles, and I choose you, and I choose your people. That was the message from Jesus in the letter, actually.
Well, you know, it says in the scriptures that many other things that Jesus said, there are so many that they would fill up many books, but many things that Jesus said are not in the Bible that we know of. But if they were to put everything that Jesus said and did, would fill up many books. And this very well may be one of those incidents, one of those accounts of Pedro's. It appears to be. Now,
it's in Gospel of John, actually, when two Greeks went to ask for Jesus and they wanted to talk to the master, and the apostles told Jesus. Jesus said, "I cannot see them right now." It's in the Gospel of John. Those are the two messengers that were Armenians, actually.
Okay, so the Armenians became Christians. They're not Roman Catholic. They're Christians. And today, how many people does Armenia, the nation of Armenia, have? In that country?
Right now, out of 162,000 square kilometers that we have, we're left with 29,000 29,000, which is under the occupation of all, it's surrounded by Muslims, basically, and it's under constant attack. So right now, the nation has about 2.5 million Armenians, but then majority of Armenians are living in the diaspora, like Russia, United States. Our population is 12 million. So, 2 million living in the homeland and 10 million are out to assimilate. And that's the great plan of the Young Turks again to destroy and finish our race.
And let me just quickly say, Bedros, you and I both know that there's a great threat to Armenia today to be Christian in that area. Of course, you do have Russia up north, but then there's the Muslims between you and the Russian mainland. But this the new prime minister, the new head of Turkey, is he cooperating with ISIS in the killing of the Syrians and the other peoples of Iraq. And the guy's a madman as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, he shot down that Russian aircraft to stir up some trouble with Russia that's trying to help Syria. And I have no doubt that Turkey today, and Erdogan, the head of it, is masterminding, helping the United States to mastermind this refugee problem. So all the refugees that are coming over from Syria, I think that Turkey is the main partner there. The United States is going to end up getting about 1 million Syrians. Of course, they're saying now that that Europe, Germany this year is getting over 1 million refugees. They say over the next 10 years, up to 10 million more refugees are going to come. They're actually invading. They know what they're doing. They're invading Europe and trying to harm the United States too by creating a multicultural, a very pro-Muslim country here in the United States. And it's been succeeding with Barack Obama, who basically is not a Christian at all. He's a Muslim sympathizer. And the goodness and kindness of many Americans is going to be our downfall, I'm afraid. But think about what Bedros is saying here. Here we have a small nation. There's 14 or 15 million around the world. But there are only about 2.5 million Armenians. They have their own country. It's on the map. But they're surrounded by these Muslims, and especially Turkey is right there. And boy, are they not in danger today. And that's why I invited Bedros on. This is just Bedros, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back in about a minute with Bedros Hajin. He's the head of Armenian American Christian Outreach. We have a lot more for you. So he's going to tell you, he's going to give you an explanation of what is really going on in the Middle East, what you need to know about it, and what we need to do as Christians. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. You know, we're talking with Bedros today of the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Now, I did a three-hour investigation of what is really going on in Armenia, in Turkey, and what went on before. You know, one of the things I recall is that the British consul at that time wrote a message back to London. He said a horrible genocide. Now I'm paraphrasing the British consul. But he went and he investigated and he saw what was going on in the desert where all these thousands were being slaughtered by the Turks. And he said it's an unbelievable situation, a genocide. And he said they have the practice of cutting off the hands of their victims. They would take the men and women and they would cut off their hands. And well, imagine you have no money, only the clothes on your back. And they took many of the shoes from the men. No medicines. You're out in the desert, you know, hundreds of thousands. And here comes this horrible army of Muslims and cut off all your hands. The British consul said there are so many severed hands. There are so many severed hands that if they were laid side by side, it would be a highway that would extend all the way to Jerusalem. Think of a highway made up of severed hands. And that's what the British consul reported. The American consul at the time wrote back, I think it was the military consul, wrote at the time too, and I've seen his letter. He talks about the great genocide that occurred. There is no quarrel at all that there was a genocide, except Turkey denies it to this day. And the Jews deny. Why were the Jews? They supposedly had nothing to do with this, didn't they? They said that the Young Turks were not Jewish. That's just fiction. Of course, as Bedros said, it's absolutely true. They don't want to recognize that a genocide occurred. There's two reasons for that. One is the Jews say their so-called Holocaust, which is a fake. Their Holocaust is the greatest genocide in history. Nobody else has, you know, nobody is as bad off as the Jews. That's their constant refrain. Even Harry Truman, our president, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, he said, you know, the Jews are never for the underdog. And, you know, they whine and moan and say how bad their lot is. That was Harry Truman, and it's true. But I want you to have this, a sea of blood, this 3-CD, 3-hour investigative report by Tex Morse, a sea of blood. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or you can call our toll-free number here, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can mail a check or money order or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Let's see, Jerry, did I leave off anything? I'm so much into this message. It's disturbed me so much thinking about it with Brother Bedros that sometimes I forget business. And, you know, we need your help. I want to say something before I go back to Bedros. We received donations from you, my friends, for the Employees Appreciation Fund. And we have especially appreciate those who contributed to our children's project. Now, we carry on that project every year. And we have now given out most of the money that we got from that to the children at Christmas. And they were taken to Walmart and Target, I believe. And they mostly bought clothes and school supplies with the money that you sent. And boy, did they ever appreciate it. And you know, they have house parents there at the children's home. And they sent me little cards, you know, that they had got thanking me and telling me what they had bought and such. I wish I had time to read those to you, but it really meant a lot. And I appreciate so much you're helping us out in that. Now, we have another project right now going on here in the ministry, and it's our water system. You know, we're sort of out in the country, out of Austin, Texas, and our water system broke down. You know, the the pumping system and all that. We found out when we couldn't use our bathroom anymore, it didn't work. We couldn't even get a drink of water. So we were carrying bottled water in here for a number of days. We made it. Don't worry about it. God took care of us. But we had to get a company in here, and they put in a new water system. They drill way down, and I guess the mud gets in after so many years. We've been here. Jerry, how long have we been here at this location? 23 years. We own the building. We own the building. We owe nobody. We don't owe 1 cent to anybody. But when we have a big expense like that, well, what can we do? We had to pay it out. And if you can help us with this water project, let's just call it the water project. Now, we got it fixed. Don't get me wrong, but it sort of put a dent in our budget for this year. If you can help with this water project, I would so much appreciate it. All right? If you can't, if you're on Social Security and you're barely making it, okay, no. We're going to pray for you. But if you can give a little bit, maybe $5 or $10 extra this month or whatever you can give for the water project, it would help get us back to speed. Thank you so much for the Employees Appreciation Fund and the Children's Project. You know I don't ask you for money, well, very rarely, maybe 2 or 3 times an entire year. And this is just one of those times. And this water system needs your support. Hey, we've got good water now. Clean water. Jerry, you don't have to bring that, what will you bring, 5-gallon jug or whatever you're bringing from home. So we've got it all taken care of, but we would appreciate your support. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. We have Bedros Hajin. Bedros, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell us the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Give us your address. Some folks may want to write to you. Maybe they'll need some more information. Maybe they'd like to help your ministry. Give us your address, would you?
Sure. It's the headquarters is 1844 East Walnut Street, Suite A, Pasadena, California, 91107.
Okay, give that enough. Your name is Bedros. Let's just call him Bedros.
Hajian, H-A-J-I-N.
Okay. Send this to Bedros Hajian or to the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Give us the address again, please.
1844 East Walnut Street, Suite A, Pasadena, California, 91107.
All right. You know, Bedros, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I went to your ministry. You know, you sent a driver to pick me up, to take me from, you know, my hotel. And I was talking with that young gentleman, and I said, how did you get involved in this Armenian American Christian Outreach? He gave me his testimony. He was so thrilled. He said he was just a driver, right, that you sent over to pick me up. He said, Mr. Mars, I was a gangster. I was like the mafia. He said, we did terrible things. And I didn't care about anybody. I didn't care about myself. I was a drunkard, and I drank heavily. I was a member of the mafia. You know, the Armenian has a little, you know, bad sort, just a few guys there. And he said, and then I met Bedros, and he gave me Jesus. He says, Mr. Morris, that changed my life. Everything has changed now. He said, and I don't drink anymore. And my wife, I have a wonderful wife and I treat her good. And, you know, he was so excited. Well, when I got to your ministry there, the offices, there was a man sitting in there. He looked like a middle-aged guy. He was a black man sitting there, sort of like a receptionist, you know, typing a little bit. And we went to lunch that day. You took me to lunch. We all went to a little place there in Glendale, just a sort of around the corner place. Wasn't fancy. But I was asking him, I said, how did you get to know Bedros and the Armenian American Christian Outreach? Now this man said, listen to this. Now I'm paraphrasing him, but here's what he said. He said, well, Mr. Mars, I was a bum. I slept out on the street. I was a homeless bum. I was an alcoholic. And then Bedros came and saw me and he said, you need a place to sleep. And he took me in. They had some, these cots and everything here. He took me in and then he introduced me to Jesus. He said, it changed my life. I says, well, what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm working, you know, just like a receptionist and everything, but he said, I'm just about to get my college degree. He said, I've gone to college, you know, I started college. I don't drink anymore. I know Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, these are unsolicited, just guys, you know, if I hadn't have asked them, maybe they wouldn't have even told me this. But that was, I think, God causing me to ask them those questions. And God let them give their testimony to me. That told me of your good works. I know about your visiting the jails there, how they threaten you. Don't bring Jesus in here. You know, it's like any other county or city in America. You have to fight just to tell the prisoners about Jesus. But you did that. You know, they ordered you not to, and you fought them. And I understand all that. You have a rehab ranch. But I want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you very much, Mark. The government actually raided me. They wanted me to shut down the place because I'm helping homeless people and feeding them, taking them back to their broken families. They wanted to shut me down. They fined me. They wanted to incarcerate me.
Wow.
But Jesus is with me, and he's going to be with me until the end, because this is a spiritual war we have to fight. And I've seen one thing. Satan is there to destroy humanity, and God is there to heal humanity. And there's a battle, and we're in the middle. If if we're either ambassadors of Christ or Satan, I choose to be with Christ.
Amen. Well, you know, that they would fight. You know, you're having a place, going out on the streets, finding these homeless men, telling them about Jesus. I think that's it. They would love you if you were not Christian, not religious, you know, just some kind of a group out there. You know, I received a message from a pastor, and he was also in California. His small church would make sandwiches and take to the city park and give to the homeless people there food. They were ordered by the sanitation department, don't do this anymore. They received a big fine. Can you believe that? You can't even give food to the poor. But that's just the assault on Christians today. Well, anyway, I just want to tell people about that. That was my discovery in visiting. I'm a pretty sharp-eyed guy when I go around, and I've seen some that purport to be Christian and purport to be helping people, and you're just wasting your money. But when you give to the Armenian American Christian Outreach, and by the way, that black man, he wasn't Armenian. You don't discriminate, do you?
No, I don't. He's back to his family. He was from a broken family. I mean, walked away from his wife 6 years prior to when I saw him, and I took him in. He's back to his family. Actually, he's a minister right now.
Wow.
And he's back to his family, and so many families were healed just the way. For the past 18 years, we've helped about 20,000 individuals. And most of them came from divorced families, and even divorced, we healed them back, and through the, not me, but Christ himself, and take them back, and then they're happily married right now. Because in Christ there is hope and faith. Only Christ can heal, but the world doesn't want to talk about it.
They don't want
to tell the truth. They want to spread all this liberalism and feminism, but as the Bible says, the greater is the spirit in you than the one in the world, and that's who leads us.
I saw a video. I don't want to get off topic here very much, but I saw a video put out by the Pope of Rome and the Catholic Church, and he had a Buddhist monk on, he had a Jewish guy on, and a Muslim imam, and then a Catholic priest. And basically the Pope was saying, we all are meeting God, traveling different roads or paths, but we're all worshiping the same God, so we're all going to go to heaven together. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Jews, we're all like in the same boat. And then they all en masse in this video. This was an official video, and of course Pope Francis was in it. Then they all said, my religion is love. And the next one said, my religion is love. Each one of them said, my religion is love. Well, Bedros, your religion is one of love, and that's demonstrated by the good works that you have. Now, those good works don't get you to heaven. You know that. It's Jesus Christ. But once you know Jesus, you want to do good works. You know, you're consumed. I would think if you didn't tell people about Christ, you would be the one harmed in your mind. And to see that video and to think, oh my, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14, verse 6. And that's your feeling too. And I saw a great Christian spirit there in your ministry, and I appreciated that so much. Okay, let's get back. I'm sorry to get off target. Now, the Armenians there today, do they realize how much danger they're in? Have you talked to pastors there? Have you talked to the people? I know a lot of them have been coming to the United States and contributing to our society, but what about that? What's happening?
You mean in Armenia itself?
Yes, in Armenia itself. Do they realize the danger that they're in?
Right now, Armenia is under attack from agents of New World Order, actually.
Mm.
And they're under attack from NATO, from EU, and from all sides to implement their own feminism and liberalism in a small country that existed for centuries. And they do realize the dangers, but unfortunately there are too many outspoken pastors in the United States, unfortunately, because they're under their 501c and they're limited in their talking. They don't preach the truth, unfortunately. But in Armenia, they do realize, yes, our country is in great, great danger right now, especially Armenians in the Middle East are in great danger also. So that's the answer I can give.
Now, one of the things that I discovered in the Armenian community was you basically have assimilated. You know, there's people that want to dominate. The Muslims, it appears, want to dominate. But the Armenians have worked very close. You're very prosperous in the United States. You have basically assimilated. Now, that doesn't mean you forget your home country of Armenia, but it means that you become citizens, you assimilate, you own businesses. I know, like, the mayor there was of Glendale was Armenian. So assimilation is very important in the Armenian community, isn't it?
Absolutely. We like to stick our identity, to keep our identity. We also have to, one has to also realize Armenian, historically, who are the Armenians? Armenians come from Haik, Father Haik, who fought against Bel. I mean, if we read the historic books and even Bible, Haik and Bel, Haik was the Armenian, we're ancestors of Haik, who fought against Babylon. Mm-hmm. And we're the direct ancestors, we're the grandchildren of Haik, the person who stood up against injustice Babylon. So we don't assimilate because our culture is deeply rich, and if you read the history, while Jews or different cultures, they didn't respect women, Armenian history, you will see we had queens, we respected our women as equally. So all this modern civilization that they talk about, equality, comes from Armenian ideology, actually.
Hmm. Well, I don't think anybody's going to hear about the Armenian sending out young men to molest and rape women there in Los Angeles or any other city. That's not going to happen anytime. Well, let's talk some more about this massacre, this genocide. This was one of the first genocides by government in history. Now we can go back to Attila the Hun and all of those, but this is one of the first. Now, today, the Armenians in the United States have tried to get the United States government to recognize this genocide that occurred. And I suppose the United Nations too. Why is it important? Why do we care whether the government or the United Nations or something says, yes, we acknowledge there was a genocide of the Armenian people way back in the 1900-1915 era? Why is that important to you, Bedros?
It's very important to learn from history. If we don't learn from history, we see that because the United States has not recognized the Armenian genocide, what's taking place in the Middle East today, the creation of ISIS, creation of all this extreme Islamic groups that are committing heinous genocide against the Yazidis, against the Armenians, against the Assyrians. They're butchering, beheading. It's the same powers that stood behind our genocide that we never investigated. And the United States or the world never dared to see who were those people, who were the organizers that organized it. If the United States recognizes it, they have to at least investigate what happened. And I guess they're not pretty much inclined. They don't want to accept the guilt that the plan was to create a state of Israel. The plan right now is to create greater Israel. So they will do anything and sacrifice anybody in the name of their God, which is the Temple of Solomon, unfortunately.
Well, let's see on this. In other words, Armenian people have gone to our Congress and said, would you recognize that there was a historical genocide of the Armenian people by Turkey? Now, if it were not for the Jewish lobby and the Turkish lobby in America, that would be no problem at all. But it's interesting. So the Turkey as a country, do they deny that a genocide occurred? Do they think it was what do they think? How do they explain that?
Well, they say it was a tragedy. It was a war, they say. They claim that it was just a tragedy. It was just a war that took place. It was people died on both sides. That's what they claim. They don't claim it was genocide, because if they claim it's a genocide, then they have to agree deportation of people. Mass people were killed in the desert, and they have to agree the land belongs to the Armenians. So obviously, they don't accept it.
Mm.
They deny their crime until today.
They're still denying it. And the Jews are assisting them in this crime, this denial.
Right.
The Jewish lobby works very hard to keep this genocide resolution, you know, out. They don't want the Congress to do this. Now, I want to go back, and I'm trying to figure this out. So the Turkish people, what is their problem? They could recognize it. They just say they're not the kind of people to do such things. I mean, I remember when I was in the U.S. Armed Forces, we had a very harsh view of the Turkish military. We had a lot of Turkish military would come to our bases for training or whatever. We saw they were quite tough guys, and it was said that the Turkish military took no prisoners. There were no POWs to the Turks. They killed them. I mean, so I don't... But they're denying this. Now, Erdogan, some say he wants to be the new Sultan. Do you think is that cutthroat, or?
He wants to create the new Ottoman Empire, actually, and he wants to create the Islamic Khalifa. That's what he wants to do.
Now, why is he working so close now with Israel to set up, to destabilize the Middle East and all those countries there and overcome those few who still have legitimate governments? And just to help create a greater Israel, why would Erdogan do that as a Turk?
Why would Erdogan do that? Because actually, the country was created by the Young Turks, which is Atatürk, which is actually Judeo-Pan-Turkism, and he wants to continue the same method what he's doing in order to control the region by Pan-Turkism and Islamic influence.
Now, it's interesting to me, the Freemasons were involved in this too. These young Turks were Freemasons. They'd come from Salonika, Greece, the Masonic Lodge there and so forth. But these young Turks were Freemasons. Now, Netanyahu himself is a Freemason. He was raised, I guess you call it raised or whatever, initiated into the Masonic Lodge here in the United States, in fact, when he went to a college up in New England. But the Masonic influence, there is a Grand Lodge of Israel. And, of course, Freemasonry is very big in Turkey. Is this part of it, too, that these are brother Masons? Erdogan and Netanyahu are actually brother Masons, correct?
Absolutely, they are. They are brother in the secret society. They are brother even by heritage and gene, because they both come from Khazaria, and Turkic people come from in that region, which are the same race, actually.
You know, that's true. Dr. Iran Elhaik, who's Jewish himself, Johns Hopkins University, did that DNA study. And I put it in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. The Khazarians, The Turks are now, they come from Khazarian blood, and Dr. L. Haik showed that they were actually Turkish. Those who call themselves today Jews are not Israelites. They're actually Turkish. So there's a real a clannishness among these people, isn't there?
Absolutely. They're the same race. They're the same mission. Pan-Turkism was created through them. And today's Turkey is Pan-Turkist Turkey.
Boy.
Because, the dream of the Jews, actually. And the same with Azerbaijan. They're not the real Azeris. They're Turkic people that infiltrated and created a fake country called Azerbaijan right now that is very well respected by Israel. And Israel arms them against Armenians. That's very interesting.
Yes, it really is. There's all that working together of the Freemasons and
right.
toward a world system. And you mentioned the Temple of Solomon. Of course, that's what Freemasons worldwide seek to rebuild, the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. And so there's a connection there. Now, here's the whole thing. I did a report one time entitled The Scorpion. And I stated that both the Jews and the Muslims were both scorpions. Put them in the same the bottle together. I mean, two scorpions is what they were as far as Christianity is concerned. Now, of course, the Pope has sought to bring the Islamic faith and the Jewish faith into the Catholic Church. To put them all in one big. And that's three scorpions in the bottle, I guess you could say. But the Armenians are not buying the Islamic stuff that you're heavenly sent. You know, you worship God like we do. You know better than that. You know the Jews don't really worship our God. So, you know, you're the only people in that area of the world that's saying, hey, we're the Christians. We oppose Islam. We oppose the Jews. You're not warring with them. But you're just making a spiritual statement. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. We're not creating enemies. We're creating. We're sticking to our religion, which is our faith, not religion even, which is through Christianity, and that we don't want to change.
That's right. Well, I tell you, it's been great being with you today, Bedros. Now, listen, one real quick thing, and I failed to mention. You stated you had some eyewitnesses that were telling you about hundreds of Christians that had their heads cut off by ISIS just recently.
Yes.
Well, we have about a minute left. Would you tell us what you can about that?
I can say it. It's, I received a phone call from Syria. They were asking me to help to spread the news because hundreds of Christians, Armenians, are being beheaded every day by ISIS and without mercy. Or either they convert to Muslim or they were being beheaded. Today, that's taking place in Syria, actually.
Those are Christian those are Christian Armenians in Syria.
Right. To the Assyrians, to the Christians, and to the Yazidis, they're raping the woman. They're kidnapping, selling as slaves. The Yazidi women were sold as slaves, in sex slaves, actually. This is horrible. Things are going on, and the world just standing and watching. That's incredible. Yeah.
Folks, please, please pray. Play for these and do what you can through your congressmen, senators or whatever, and fight for these Christians. They're like you and I. They're Christians. They're family people. And horrible things are going on in Syria by ISIS and the other Muslims. And our own president is supporting the Islamics. We must do something as Christians. Please pray. And ask God what he would have you do. Bedros Hajian, thank you so much for being on Power Prophecy today.
Thank you very much, Tex.
All right, and stay with us. I want to talk with you just a moment after the show. Folks, it's been great being with you again. Have this program each week here on Power of Prophecy. Tune in, won't you? Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.